Very good evening to you. Welcome along to this first edition of Gospel for You. And our theme is life. We're back after a month-long break where we've been handing over the airwaves to YALO, that's Youth Adult Life Orientation, and celebrating youth and indeed the issues of youth and how to apply God's word in all of this. Continuing on with God's word in this program, we have as our theme life. Matthew 7 verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I think a lot of what needs to be said in this program can be summed up through the following poem. This is a poem that was actually read out at one of my wife's Helen's uncles who had died. And she was asked to read this poem at his funeral service. It's called The Dash by Linda Ellis. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years, for that dash represents all the time that they spent alive on earth, and now only those who loved them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love, and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? We could add that God knows each and every one of us. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and judging the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things open laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we are accountable. Some versions read, with him to whom we have to do. But God knows each and everything about us. Why? Well, because he loves us for one thing. He is a holy, he is a righteous God, but he loves us too much to just leave us the way that we are. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay that price in our place. And Jesus did that not only by coming to the earth and demonstrating a life worth living. Lots of people didn't understand him, but he demonstrated a life worth living, a life that God was pleased with. What would God say about your life? What would God say about your life with Christ? What would God say about your life without Christ? If you were to die today, where would you be going? Are you sure of getting to heaven? Questions that that need to be answered, and we will try and answer them in this program. Matthew 7 verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus, when he was on this earth, spoke about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus also likened himself to being the gate for the sheep and the shepherd. But how ready are we to accept the word of God and to accept that Jesus Christ really did come and really is there? If we but just trust and realize that we ourselves are nothing without God and nothing without Christ. We're here on this particular frequency telling you these things because we care, because God told us to go out into all the world. Matthew chapter 28 verses 18 to 20. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And that's what we are here to do, and to tell you that good news of salvation, and through God's word to teach. In this Gospel for You program, we have a number of things that we'll be doing. One of the things is to making the gospel available to language groups around the world. And so we are going to be making sure that you are able to hear John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. And that available in Estonian, in Greek, and in Arabic. Because this particular program goes out to all of Europe, North Africa, and the Middle East. This program is for the whosoever. It's as much for the people in Europe as it is for the people in Gaza, as it is for the people in Israel, as it is for the people in Morocco. It is for you. Also in the program, we're going to be hearing the gift of grace and enjoying some music from Hebron. The gift of grace, we anchor hold, and to God be the glory. We've got three testimonies for you coming up, from Andy Franklin, for Nella Rink from Operation Mobilization, and also from Chris McKenzie. Keep it coming here on Gospel for You. Here's that gift of grace.
Jesus, my Redeemer, there is no more. Welcome to your gospel, making the good news of salvation available to language groups around the world.
Your gospel in Estonian.
Sinu evangeelium eesti keeles Johannese 3:16 uuselav tõlge 16, sest nõnda on Jumal maailma armastanud, ta andis oma ainusündinud poja, et igaüks, kes temasse usub, ei hukkuks, vaid et tal oleks igavene elu.
Your gospel is made available by Gospel for Grampian Radio, which it is heard every hour, on the hour, and on podcast from podcast.g4g.org.uk. Listen in life from listen.g4g.org.uk. Thank you.
Well, I'll try and keep it relatively short. I was brought up in a Christian family. My mum and dad took me and my brothers to Sunday school, and so I've always, for as far as I can remember, I've always had a belief in God. But it wasn't until I was 17. A few things happened along my childhood, but not the matter. But it wasn't until I was 17 that I actually gave my life to Jesus. And it was a rather strange event that happened. I remember it was a horrible, very windy, stormy, rainy morning, probably about 6 in the morning in February. And I think it was, I forget the year, it was back in the 80s, 82 I think. And my hometown, which is in Nuneaton in Warwickshire, they actually, and back in the 80s, I don't know if those of the listeners that are old enough to remember, this was a time of very heightened nuclear tensions between the East and the West. And there was this constant threat of nuclear weapons coming from East Germany, for example, and hitting the UK, and they had this thing called the 3-minute warning. So if you heard the siren go off, you knew you had 3 or 4 minutes, I forget what it was, 4-minute warning or 3-minute warning, whatever it was called. And supposedly you could get yourself ready and take one of your doors off and hide under that, and you were going to be okay. And anyway, this horrible morning, I was woken up by the sound of the air raid siren going off, basically warning of a nuclear attack. And although I believed in God, I didn't have a firm, solid foundation and belief in God, because I was absolutely petrified, and I thought I was absolutely certain that was going to be it. We were going to be finished, and I remember going into my mum's room, waking her up. All this is going on, and I remember my mum being as cool as a cucumber, as calm as anything, and she basically said, "Well, if this is it, this is it, but you need to get right with God." And she had no fear of dying, and that peace and that certainty that she had, I just found very attractive, and I gave my life to Jesus at that point, through fear, to be perfectly honest. But I didn't behave as an all-in Christian, for the most of the next 36 years. I told you it was going to be a long story, and it wasn't until like sort of 5 years ago that I actually felt, I can't describe it other than I felt the Lord calling me to him, and I just couldn't. I started reading my Bible more, and I had done through the various years, and I prayed and whatever else, and I knew that the Lord was there. I knew he was there, and I knew I had a certainty. I knew I had a solid base. But I just had this yearning. I just wanted more and more, and I couldn't walk past the church without going in. And I just started feeding myself on the Word of God and preachers on YouTube and whatever else. And started attending a church. And I was in Australia at the time, and found a decent church and started attending there. And it's just been a gradual progress since then, I guess. But so to answer your question. How did I get to Jesus, or how did he get to me? I guess in a number of stages. First of all, in my very infant years, just this belief in God, that there was a God. I was new, and I was was sure about God, and I was also sure about the other side. I was also absolutely certain about the dark kingdom, about the work of Satan, because I've experienced it for myself, both as a child and later on in adulthood. So first stage at infancy, and then at 17 giving my life to the Lord, not living a particularly all-in Christian life, and then just his patience and his grace in calling me back a few years ago. So that's it. That's my story.
Welcome to Your Gospel, making the good news of salvation available to language groups around the world.
This is Your Gospel in Greek.
Αυτό είναι το Ευαγγέλιο σου στα ελληνικά. Ιωάννης 3 και 16 New Living Translation 16 Διότι έτσι αγάπησε ο Θεός τον κόσμο, έδωσε τον έναν και μοναδικό Υιό Του, για να μην χαθεί όποιος πιστεύει σε Αυτόν. Αλλά να έχει αιώνια ζωή.
Your Gospel is made available by Gospel for Grampian Radio, which it is heard every hour, on the hour, and on podcast from podcast.g4g.org.uk. Listen in life from listen.g4g.org.uk. Thank you.
This is Gospel for You, and you've been listening into Your Gospel in Greek. A testimony from Andy Franklin, Your Gospel in Estonian, and The Gift of Grace from Hebron Church. And these recorded at a special evening to celebrate Fisherman's Mission. And it's an annual thing, because fishing is actually the most dangerous occupation in the world. Many of Jesus' disciples were in fact fishermen themselves. We're here to cover the concept of life, a concept of life as it is highlighted in Matthew chapter 7 verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. And what we want to do is to make sure that you, the listener, are given the information that you need. Many people do not yet know about the gospel, about the good news of salvation. Salvation is being plucked out of harm's way, being plucked out and away from disaster. And many are headed that way. And we're here because we believe in the whole Bible, in the whole of God's Word, as expressed in the Bible. We're believing that Jesus Christ, Son of God, came to the earth, died in our place, and that to pay for all the things that we've done wrong. I don't begin to understand the whys and the wherefores of it. But one thing I do know is that because of this, I have God's Spirit living within me, and that same Spirit is there to guide, to draw my attention to certain scriptures, and that Spirit gives peace. That same Spirit allows me to pray, and pray effectively. Prayer is talking to God, and when we come to know Christ as Lord and Saviour, God comes within us by His Spirit. It's through Christ that we're made right with God, and through Christ that we can have everlasting life. Still to come in this Gospel for You program, we're going to be hearing more from Hebron Church, where your anchor hold in the storms of life. We'll be hearing from Nella Rink of Operation Mobilization. Also from Chris McKenzie, who gives his life story. And then finishing off with an opportunity for you, the listener, to accept Christ as your Lord and Saviour. It is an invitation. Who am I? Well, my name's Rob Rowe, and I'm the director and station manager at Gospel for Grampian Radio, which broadcasts online and which produces these Gospel for You programs. We make these programs available as soon as we can after broadcast on a Monday evening, through shortwave and medium wave, and very grateful to our partners in Nexus for carrying these broadcasts for us. Thank you, Nexus. Supporting Nexus International Broadcasting Association and their broadcasts will allow us to be able to fulfill our vision, our heart, to get God's word and the good news of salvation out to more of every language group around the world, right where it's needed. And we hope this is bringing you some encouragement and hope. Here's Hebron and Fisherman's Mission with Will Your Anchor Hold?
Good morning, everyone. Very glad that you've been able to join us today in Heart of the Matter. David and I and our special guest are here, and we're looking forward to spending an hour with you. So thank you for joining us. Whoever you are and wherever you are most welcome to Heart of the Matter today. Now, our special guest today is a young woman from Germany, and her name is Nila Rink. Did I get that right?
Yeah. Nila?
Yes, very good. Now, Nila, you have a part of the Bible there that you want to share with us. And to an extent, this reading from the Bible will underpin what Nila is going to share with us later in terms of her own story. So go ahead, Nila, please.
Yeah, my story in mission started with this verse, Ruth 1 verse 16, where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. And I really felt like God is calling me with this verse.
Now, in that verse, who is speaking to whom in that verse?
Naomi is speaking to Ruth, and she's saying that she will not let go of her and that she will stay with her where she's going.
And it's clearly a kind of statement of commitment and loyalty, isn't it?
100%.
Absolutely. That underpins so much of what you're going to share with us now.
Mm-hmm.
But let's begin at the beginning. Where did your story begin, Nela? Where in Germany did your story begin?
Between Frankfurt and Cologne, I grew up in a really small village on the countryside.
Well, it sounds beautiful. What is this little village called?
The name of the village is Holzhausen.
Which means, in English, do you know?
Woodhouses.
Woodhouses. Okay, woodhouses.
Or something like that.
And presumably because many of the houses were made of wood, weren't they?
Probably.
Yeah. So it's a rural, very beautiful country, open fields, fresh winds, sunshine. Mm-hmm. It's idyllic. What a wonderful place to be brought up.
Yeah, it is.
Good. Your parents still live there?
Yeah, they still live there.
Right. And this is where you went to school and did all the things that little girls get up to?
Mm-hmm.
This village that you lived in is well known in Christian circles through an organisation that goes by the name of Wycliffe.
Yeah.
Tell us about Wycliffe.
I don't know a lot about that, but it's about Bible translating. So missionaries from there go to very isolated places and find out their language. And most of the time, the Bible is the first written document in their language.
They're quite pioneers in translating the Bible into languages that are very minority languages in places like Papua New Guinea and all over the world, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they have a college or a center in this little village where you lived?
Yeah, Wycliffe, Germany is based there.
Now, you go to school, you like to do practical things, and you're quite an artistic person.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of the artistic things that you have done.
Yeah, I really like to just get creative with a lot of things. There's nothing like specific, but I really enjoyed also cooking, baking, doing crafty things, and writing cards and many things, yeah.
Your people were Christian people.
Yeah.
They took you to church.
Mm-hmm.
From your very earliest years?
Yeah.
Right. And so from a very young girl, you were aware of the Bible and what it had to say, and you lived among Christian people, and you saw Christian life being enacted out in front of you.
Yeah.
In the family and in your church fellowship and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point then, as you grew up, Nela, would you say that you yourself personally became a Christian?
I would say there's no day X or something in my story. It was really a lifelong journey to, getting more and more to that place where God wanted me to be, becoming that person He created me. And there were a lot of milestones and different events, but there's no day X in that sense. I think it really helped me to question kind of what is my faith and what's my parents' faith.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a common thing between people there growing up in a Christian home, which is really good. But then it needs to come to a point where you actually think about what I believe. So that was really good. And I really stepped out and researched a lot and read the Bible a lot to figure out, okay, who is that God I actually believe in?
Now, I think what you're saying is a very important thing, because many people have questions about God and Christian belief, but what they don't do is they don't go to the source. They don't go to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They ask other people's opinions. They read around, sometimes reading people who themselves have never been to the Bible. It would seem to be such a sensible and fundamental thing that if you have questions about the Christian faith, the place to take them is to the Bible.
Yeah.
I think it was your brother who said to you some of these questions, why don't you get together with some friends?
Mm-hmm.
And you started a regular Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And you were still just a teenager.
Yeah.
And I guess this was with two or three girl friends, was it?
Yeah, we were four of us.
Four of you. And you met how often?
We met weekly, and we really spent time together in prayer and to do Bible studies together and just encourage each other in our spiritual faith.
Well, I think that's just a wonderful thing to have done. And what happens after a while when people do take their questions into the presence of God in prayer and in the Bible, they get their ideas sorted out that some of the questions they're asking are not very good questions.
Mm-hmm.
They're not helpful questions at all. And they begin to see other things that underlie it all that are more important.
Mm-hmm.
And so they begin to develop a sense of the Christian faith that really works.
Yeah.
So that's just great. And you felt the need to develop as a Christian.
Yeah, definitely.
And a big word is discipleship, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which comes, of course, I think originally from a Latin word, discipulus, which means pupil, just a learner. So we're all learning. You were so keen to be a learner in this sense that you took an unusual step going forward. What did you do?
Really stood out to me how many times Jesus is talking about discipleship, and he himself got his 12 disciples and many more people who are following him on a regular basis. So for me, it was super important to do discipleship training, and I did my research and I found out about one with OM, so Operation Mobilization, and it's a mission discipleship training. And in total, we got 6 weeks of training.
Now, just a moment before we go into that and you tell us a bit more about the training, just say a word about OM, Operation Mobilization. What is it exactly and what do they do?
It's a mission organization. They're working in over 100 countries around the world.
100 countries, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And they offered you this discipleship course, this 6-week course. So you had to leave home to go to that, did you? Where did that take place?
It was another part of Germany. So the 6 weeks of training were in Germany, and then we had 3 months of outreach.
I see. So what sort of things did the training involve?
We were talking a lot about the basics of Christian faith, our identity in Christ, and a lot of cultural training, because we ourselves were an international team, and most of the time we were going to an international team and we are meeting different cultures there.
Right. And the questions that you were asking as a younger person, you were finding the answers that you needed to these questions?
Yeah.
And this course helped you to do that?
Of course, yeah.
Now, the international group that you're talking about, where did they come from, the others in the team, you know?
We were 8 young people, and we had 2 Americans, 2 Australians, and 1 from South Korea, and then Germans.
And no one from the UK?
No one from the UK.
Now, when you came to the more practical part of the experience, you went out of Germany. Where did you go?
So we split up our bigger team into smaller ones, and my team went to Serbia, Moldova, Italy, Portugal, and Belgium. So I think in total we had 10,000 kilometers.
Long journeys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us a little bit about one of these countries, Serbia, for example. What did you do there?
In Serbia, we had the opportunity to serve in a refugee camp. Mm-hmm. We were making tea and coffee, and OM has a tea tent there. And in these cultures, it's really important to just sit down with a cup of tea and to talk. So that's what we did for 3 weeks. We had the opportunity to talk with people, and especially with a family which recently became Christians. And they had so many questions, and I could really identify with that because I also got a lot of questions. And we were just reading the Bible together, and discipleship again, answering questions, reading the Bible together and praying together.
So you were following the pattern that had been established back home, really.
Yeah.
Bring your questions here and let's see what the Bible has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the refugee camps, of course, almost by definition, there are people who have been upset.
Mm-hmm.
They've had to leave their homeland for whatever reason, and they're unsettled. I suppose it would be very important to begin by listening very carefully to what they were saying and to what kind of experience they had had. Was that a bit of an eye-opener to you about some of the suffering that people had gone through?
Most of the time, people were really happy to talk openly about what they experienced. And I was just sitting there with tears in my eyes when they're showing you pictures of their destroyed homes, of their cities, and they don't know if they will ever meet their family again or where they will stay for the next years. And it's a lot of heartbreak and brokenness, but at the same time, most of them are got hope, and I was super happy to share my hope in life with them.
Which countries did these refugees come from? Did they come from various countries?
Yeah, but at that time, mainly from Iran and Syria.
Iran and Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there are still enormous
refugee
problems in relation to those two countries. And then you went to Moldova. Now, that's a country that I think not many people in the UK, we don't know too much about Moldova, so you tell us about it.
So Moldova is actually the poorest country in Europe, and it's a really small country and there are just living 3 million there. There's a lot of poverty, there's a lot of addiction. Especially what broke my heart was to see the kids. More than half of them living by themselves, living on the street. They're abandoned by their parents. They're super vulnerable for whatever, people can just hurt them so much. And it was so heartbreaking to see that, and I was not prepared for that experience at all. It really hit me. Also to see how people are just starving or dying in their homes because it was too cold and they couldn't afford the heating. This level of poverty was not what I expected in Europe. We had the opportunity to go out and share the gospel with people, bringing them food parcels. The first day I thought, that's such a weird approach to go to someone's home and bring them a food parcel. But the first lady we talked with, she shared that she didn't know what she would have the next day. So the poverty is on an essential level.
Well, that must have been a serious experience for you, but quite formative as well. It's shaping you, isn't it? It's shaping your mind about the way the world is and some of the problems that there are in it. And that was a great experience for someone of a relatively young age.
Yeah.
Now, would you recommend, for example, that young people in their gap year, could they have an OM experience?
Yeah, definitely. There are so many options out there. There's so many countries and people groups you could go to. And you don't need any experience beforehand or any training. You will all get that. For me, it was life-changing, and I'm so happy about that I did it.
Now, if they wanted to know more about that, what should they do? Who should they contact?
There's a lot of information on the website and actually a search bar where you can type in how long you want to go. There's from 5 days to 2 years. There are many options all over the world in 100 countries, and there are many ministries. They're super different. Website is uk.om.org.
Now, I'm a very slow writer, so can you say that for me again?
uk.om.org.
Got it. And you've got to be under 20 years of age to go, is that right?
No. You can go from 15 to, I think, 99, or maybe also when you're 100. You can go in any age.
There's no age limit.
And you can go either as an individual, as a couple, as a family, as a church group. Everyone is invited to come.
And there are just any number of different kinds of opportunities. So there's something there that would appeal to virtually everyone.
Yeah.
Or anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be a fascinating exploration.
Yeah.
You are still, in a sense, working within or under the umbrella of OM.
Yeah.
Tell us what you're doing right now.
So right now we're in a team, and I'm together with another girl from Germany. She was on the Logos Hope, the mission ship, for 1 year. And there's an English lady with a Hindu background. She served in the Himalayan range for 2 years. And we are, as a team, going to different churches, prayer meetings, and universities, and several events to talk about missions, to try to challenge people who are Christians to step out and take the next step and to think what they can do or how they can get involved in missions. And we're, of course, talking about our experience with OM.
Right, so there is a possibility then for church fellowships, or I suppose for any kind of group.
It's for everyone.
It's for everyone.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's important to make that point. Now, sometime soon, you're going to go back to Germany. What are you hoping to do there?
I will probably start studying social work, and I will do a certain degree, and then my dream would be to work in psychotherapy, because I really got this heart, especially also during that time in mission, for people groups and for people who are brokenhearted. And I want to step in and bring God's light in this situation and speak truth in their lives.
Well, that's a wonderful thing to be doing. We just wish you very well with it, and God's blessing in it as well.
Thank you.
We're very grateful to Neela for sharing with us the experiences that she's had with OM and in the growth of her Christian life, and also for the reading that she gave from the Bible early on that spoke about loyalty, commitment, and the difference that it makes when people learn what that means in relation to Christ in their lives. So, Neela, thank you very much for being on Heart of the Matter today.
Thank you for having me. It was really good.
Welcome to your gospel, making the good news of salvation available to language groups around the world.
This is your gospel in Arabic.
هذا إنجيلك بالعربية يوحنا 3:16 دقيقة ترجمة الحية الجديدة 16 لأنه هكذا أحب الله العالم. لقد بذل ابنه الوحيد حتى لا يهلك كل من يؤمن به بل تكون له الحياة الأبدية.
Your gospel is made available by Gospel for Grampian Radio, which it is heard every hour, on the hour, and on podcast from podcast.g4g.org.uk. Listen in life from listen.g4g.org.uk. Thank you.
I kind of grew up my mom was brought up as a Roman Catholic. My dad really wasn't, you know, he'd been baptized as a baby, but I really wasn't brought up in a in a household that really was forthright and, you know, really, you know, I don't know, God-fearing, I guess, is maybe another way, and just not really brought up in that kind of way. I think because of my mom's upbringing, that she wanted us to be able to choose for our own selves, you know, to choose what to believe in. But, you know, like what Andy says, I had this firm belief that, you know, I believed that there was a God, but I didn't actually know, you know, anything about God. But I just, in my, you know, in me was just like, I believe that there's a God, you know. And but I guess it's like I didn't know where that came from. But, you know, nothing really impacted me, you know, apart from going to, you know, like school services, you know, at school, you know, Easter time, Christmas time. That was the only impact that I had in my whole life. So I believed that there was God, but I didn't know nothing about Jesus, really. I didn't really know anything else. Anyway, I came to join the army at 16. And, you know, part of that was actually going to church once a month. And if I'm quite honest, it was quite boring. And I really didn't see the emphasis of, you know, what is all this about, you know? I didn't really see that there was much fun. I didn't really see that it was like, okay, why are we doing this? You know, it's like we're maybe singing hymns where, you know, there's a few words going on. But I'm like, this is doing nothing for me at 16 years old. I'm like, why am I here? But I still had this firm belief, you know, about God. I guess he wasn't drawing me. But I kind of, you know, from that point, you know, I kind of, you know, as I said, I was in the army, there was a lot of drinking, there was a lot of other stuff that kind of went on that I shouldn't mention on air, but there was a lot of stuff, you know, I had not a sheltered life, you could say, so I had a lifestyle that didn't really, I don't even know what to say. I was very much a hard drinker, you know, and even in that time, you know, I'm going to be perfectly honest, I took a lot of different drugs as well, you know. And it's not that I'm glorifying that in any way, but it's just one of this, you know, you can go down the wrong path in life, but you don't necessarily actually know that you're doing any wrong, you know, you're just seeing what other people are doing and you kind of catch on to it and you're actually having fun at the time or what you perceive as fun. Little do you know that it actually is dragging you into a cycle of, you know, addictions and things like that. Anyway, I started to become a bit more curious, you know, and, you know, my wife was brought up as a Christian and she was going to church. She kind of fell away for a little while, but then she kind of was gradually going back to church again. So she'd been going to church for about 3 or 4 years, and I had went occasionally, until there was this one time, I kind of started searching a little bit more, and I started wondering about, you know, what about Noah's Ark? What about, you know, the Red Sea part? And, you know, I started to get intrigued by the stories of the Bible, and I never really got much conclusion by myself, but I used to talk with my wife about a lot of these stories, and I just couldn't figure them out. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go to church. I'm gonna go and just see what this is all about. You know, I'm probably at the stage of about 29 in my life, and I've been away from 16, and it's like, okay, let's just go. Now here's the interesting part. So I was quite a heavy smoker in my time, so I used to smoke a lot of cannabis, and so I would smoke all day, every day, pretty much. You know, that would be my lifestyle. So I end up going to church, but I was actually high, if I'm quite honest. I was actually high, but it was something that was my norm. But yet, when I went to church, you know, I actually experienced God in a different way. It was not. I didn't know what it was at the time, but I knew it was something different. And so I was like, okay, that felt something different. You know, my wife was saying, no, you're feeling the presence of God. That's what it is that you're feeling. And I'm like, okay. So the next week I'm going, okay, well, that felt good. Gonna go back again. So I went back again, and do you know this? The usual, again, I still had a smoke in the morning and still went, but again, I'm still feeling this different feeling, and I'm like, okay. But by the third week, I'm going back, and I'm like, okay, well, something's different here. Okay, so I'm gonna, by process of elimination, I'm not gonna get at all high. So I'm gonna go to church and just see if I can experience the same feeling again. And you know what? By God's grace, I experienced the exact same feeling that I felt for the previous 2 weeks. You see, God wanted to impact me. He met me where I was at. You know, Jeremiah 29:13, it says, if you truly search for me with all your heart, you will find me, and I will find you. You see, I went searching, and God met me where I was at, you know. And that's in the midst of, you know, getting high, drinking alcohol. You know, God will meet you wherever you're at any moment in time. So that's kind of like how I had my first interactions with God. And I just knew his presence, you know. And I was like, okay, I can feel his presence. And I know he's real. So from that moment onwards, it's like, I know you're real. Here you go, I can give my life to you. I didn't know quite what that looked like, but I'm like, I know Jesus is real. I can go forward now. So that's my story.
Chris McKenzie, who came in to the studio actually, along with friend Andy Franklin, both of them from River Church here in Aberdeen, and they both gave during a Gospel Cafe show a live testimony. You also heard from Nella Rink of Operation Mobilization, who is in conversation with Heart of the Matter team. Our theme today is life, and our theme scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. During the program, we also read a poem called The Dash, which was read recently during a funeral. And watching as I was, I couldn't help considering it may have been too late for the person in the coffin on the catafalque at the crematorium. Is it too late for you? I hope not. Or have we taught you about the love of Jesus Christ in time? What matters is how you spend your dash. This program is all about life. And the scripture, Matthew 7 verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But as small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. We've got an invite for you to get to know Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and it's a prayer that places entire reliance on God. It's none of ourselves. And if you say this prayer, believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth, you will be made right with God, and that through Christ Jesus. And start even that process, that road of understanding more about what people are about. When we talk about salvation, when we talk about Christ, what we're actually meaning. And may you discover that for yourselves. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please forgive me for the way that I have lived my life, my broken promises, the ways I've let people down, my behaviour, thoughts, wrong attitudes, my words, both written and spoken. Please help me to repent, to turn away from everything that is wrong. Please now come into my life by your Spirit to be my Lord and Saviour forever, and help me to be the person you want me to be. Amen. If you've said that prayer, believing and speaking with your mouth, yes, you have been made right with God. What to do now? Start reading the Bible, and I'm going to just pray over you. Dear Lord, I pray for these people who have said yes to you, and Lord God, that you would open the scriptures, open your word to them so they might further understand. They might further not only understand, but their lives will be changed, transformed, and as a beacon and a light to others, to demonstrate your love and your mercy and your salvation in their lives. Amen. Start reading the Bible. Start doing what the Bible says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbour as yourself. And you'll find those words in the Bible. Start prayer, because prayer is talking to God, and God wants to hear you praying. And do please get in contact with us. My email is rob, that's R-O-B, at g4g.org.uk. So that's rob at g4g.org.uk. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Saviour, if you have any questions, or you simply want to send us a greeting, then please do, and we'll be pleased to receive that. Who knows, that might even find its way into a future broadcast. I want to say bye-bye for now, and I'll be back next week, God willing, at the same time. Until then, bye-bye.